Please take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 7. I'll be reading verses 37 through 43, and out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. He is the one who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors. He received living oracles to give to us. Our ancestors were unwilling to obey him. Instead, they pushed him aside and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. They even made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and were celebrating what their hands had made. God turned away and gave them up to worship the stars of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, House of Israel, did you bring me offerings and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god, Rephan, the images that you made to worship. So I will send you into exile beyond the Babylon. You may be seated. As we come back to our study in the book of Acts, let me remind you of the situation we're in. The church in Jerusalem had been growing. There were seven men appointed to handle the responsibility of making sure there was equal and fair distribution among the widows in the church. And among these, one was Stephen. Stephen was a man who didn't just make sure that everything was equally distributed for the widows. He was equally distributing the truth among all he encountered. He went from different synagogues and presented the truth about Jesus. He would argue, debate, reason with the others in the synagogue, and no one could stand up against his wisdom because he had the wisdom of God. And he would be presenting the truth. So they brought false accusations against him. And let's look back at chapter 6 and verse 11. What they were accusing Stephen of when they could not overcome his explanation of the truth. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, so they came, seized him, and took him to the Sanhedrin. They also presented false witnesses who said, this man never stopped speaking against this holy place and the law. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth would destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. And all who were standing and all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Are these things true? The high priest asked. So they're accusing Stephen of speaking against God's truth, of ignoring what Moses said. Now, I like to watch the detective shows and mystery shows, and when they're interviewing a witness, they look at the face of the witness, he's telling a lie. You can just tell by the way he looks. Well, when they looked at Stephen, they saw not the face of a liar, but the face of an angel. This guy is not the one that's making up these things. They saw just on his countenance. And so Stephen begins by talking about Abraham. Abraham served the God of glory. God called him, and he went. Joseph serve the God of glory. Even though he was mistreated, lied about, sold into slavery, but God was with him and took care of him. Moses served the God of glory. Moses, however, thought he would become Israel's savior with his plan. It ended up, it wasn't God's plan to use Moses the way Moses thought he would be used, or the time. So God had Moses 40 years in the wilderness, getting him ready. And then he sent him back. Moses spoke to God in the burning bush. Moses spoke to God on Mount Sinai. And then that takes us to where our passage begins today. Stephen's going to answer the question. He's been answering the question. Are you speaking out against Moses? He said, this Moses I've been talking about, verse 37, he is the one that said, I will raise up a prophet like me. He said that in Deuteronomy 18:15. Let's go there so you don't disbelieve my words. Deuteronomy, interesting book. It might seem repetitious, but the whole title should give you that. Deuteronomy means second telling. It's just repeating everything that went before in the previous books, giving a final summation. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses is giving his final instructions, and he says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. And then the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Jesus is speaking. The crowds hear him. And look at their evaluation. Verse 14 of John chapter 6. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, this truly is the prophet who is to come into the world. And chapter 7 and verse 40, still in the Gospel of John. When some of the crowd heard these words, they said, this truly is the prophet. So the people recognized Jesus was that prophet that Moses had prophesied about, saying, someone just like me, a spokesman of God, will come. And what did they say? You must listen to him in Deuteronomy 18:15. Now, Stephen didn't repeat that part, but everybody knew that. Were the religious leaders listening to Jesus, that prophet that Moses had said was going to come and that they needed to listen to? They were ignoring. Stephen is laying out his arguments, his presentation of the evidence that those that were accusing him of wrongdoing were actually the wrongdoers. And then to further emphasize the authority of Moses as a spokesman of God, look at what he says in verse 38. He is the one, he being Moses, who was in the assembly in the wilderness. So he was with all the people of Israel in that wilderness period. He was with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. Moses talked to God face to face. And with our ancestors. Moses was there with everybody that we call as our forefathers. And he received living oracles to give to us. Moses was given the instructions to give to us. Stephen's answering the objection. I am not Stephen is saying, changing what Moses said. I'm just telling you, other people are changing what Moses said. Moses knew what the truth was. He knew who was the presenter of truth. But what happened? Who was the one that rejected Moses' teaching? Verse 39. Our ancestors were unwilling to obey him. Instead, they pushed him aside and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. You claim, Sanhedrin, those that are accusing Stephen were claiming that they were following Moses. But even those in the presence of Moses rejected what he had to say. Let's go back to Egypt. We remember all the free fish, the onions, the melons, everything was so good back when we were prisoners, back when we were slaves in Egypt. Let's go back. Moses is on top of Mount Sinai. There's fire and clouds at the top of the mountain. The people of Israel heard the voice of God coming from the mountain. And they said to Moses, "We're scared. Why don't you go talk to God and we will stay here? And then you come back and tell us what God said and we'll do it." So Moses walks up into the fire and the cloud at the top of the mountain. All the people are at the base of the mountain. They go, "Don't know what happened to Moses. He must have gone somewhere else." You go, "The mountain? Well, we don't want to wait for him. Aaron? Make us a God that we can follow." Now, Aaron, when he's confronted by Moses later, said, "You know, it's just, I threw this gold in the fire and out jumped this cow." But if you read, Moses' brother Aaron fashioned the calf in Memphis, the northern part of Egypt, where much of Israel had lived. They worshiped the god, the cow god, Apis. That was one of the gods of Egypt. So Aaron worshiped, agreed to their worship of another god and made them a golden calf. And they start dancing and partying. Have you ever seen Mardi Gras in New Orleans? That's the kind of situation that's going on. They got this golden calf. This is our God. Let's follow this God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 says, "You shall not make an idol in the image of anything above or below, and you shall not bow down and worship it." But they were doing that. In Exodus 32, 1 through 5, they're partying around this golden calf. We don't know what happened to Moses. Stephen is reminding the people of Israel that are accusing him of something they didn't even want to talk about. If you saw that movie, there's a song, "We Don't Talk About Bruno." Well, in Israel, they don't talk about the golden calf. The rabbis would just skip over that part. They wouldn't even translate it into the common language to be used, that portion of scripture to be used in the synagogue at the time of Jesus. "We don't talk about the golden calf. We don't want to talk about our failures." Stephen brought up what they didn't want to talk about. You're claiming to follow Moses, but our ancestors who were there with Moses didn't even do it. Stephen is laying the groundwork. You're doing the same thing that has been done previously. Our ancestors wanted a substitute. When they came into the promised land, they took up the Baals and the Asherahs and all the gods of Canaan. If you read through the book of Kings and Chronicles, you'll see that they worshiped the foreign fake gods. Elijah was one that had an encounter with the prophets of Baal and Asherah. He was a prophet of God. The false prophets of Baal and Asherah were supported by the king and the queen at the time in Israel. As part of Israel's history, they had rejected the teaching of Moses, who had given the words of God to people. So what did God do? God rejected Israel. This is what you want. This is what you're going to get. It started when Moses came down from the mountain, took that golden calf, ground it up, and made people drink water laced with that golden calf. This is what you want. How's it work for you now? And since you have rejected God, instead of us heading a little bit further, next week being the promised land, we're going to wander for 40 years until every one of you dies. God's not going to kill you all right now, but everybody is going to die. We're not going to get to experience what God has promised. And look at verse 42 of Acts 7. God turned away and gave them up to worship the stars of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, House of Israel, did you bring me offerings and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god, Rephan, the images that you made to worship. So I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Stephen is quoting from Amos. He changes it a little bit under inspiration of God. Amos says, beyond Damascus. Amos's prophecy was about the exile of the 10 northern tribes. But Stephen expands that under inspiration of God to talk about when the southern tribes of Judah are carried away beyond into Babylon. Well, what is it saying here? What does it mean? God turned away and gave them up to worship the stars. Do we have people worshiping the stars today? How often in recent time have we heard about the UFOs? What's the curiosity about UFOs? They're bringing answers to us. Every time you see a science fiction thing where they talk about UFOs, we'll get this technology from them. And even with what's not called science fiction, but it's actually science fiction, in our modern news about the government releasing studies about they've seen UFOs. Well, that's how we get these stealth planes. We're actually getting the answers from the people that came from the stars. We've had a program that the government supported called SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, where we have been listening for answers from the stars because we want to find answers to the problems we have here. But God created the stars has given us answers. We don't want God's answers. We want someone from somewhere else to give us an answer. We don't worship the stars like they worship the stars at the time that Stephen is speaking, or the time Moses was speaking, or the time Amos was speaking. There are some people that consult their astronomical charts to see what they should do. It sort of fell away, I think. Most people don't even look at a newspaper anymore, but used to go to what is your astrological sign and what does it say you should do today? And people would live their life based on what the newspaper said. Today, avoid making any decisions. And they would do that. Of course, a lot of people avoid making any decisions regardless of whether the astrology tells you or not. They just don't want to make any decisions. Or, today's the day you're going to meet the person of your dreams. They're looking to the stars. What else? You took up the tent of Moloch. Let me tell you a little about Moloch. It was a god of Canaan. It had the head of a bull, a hollow body, and they had a fire beneath it. It had outstretched arms on which the people of Canaan would sacrifice their children. There would be loud beating of drums during this time, so you wouldn't hear the screams of the children as they rolled from the arms of Moloch into the belly of fire. Hard to believe a society would sacrifice its children until you call it abortion. We are sacrificing our children. It's even got to the point in our country where people interviewed said the mother should have the right to choose whether the child lives up to the year after they're born. And then children should have the right to choose to let their elderly parents die. Life has been diminished. God's the author of life. Just like in the time of Moses, in the time of Stephen, in the time of Amos, man is wanting to create a God that suits his own desires. Creating something that they say, this is the source of truth. And don't dare tell me that there's another truth than my truth. You have to approve of what the world says is truth, or we'll kill you. The same thing is happening today. That was happening to Stephen, that was happening to Moses, that has been happening since the Garden of Eden. Satan has a plan. In the Garden of Eden, he said to Eve, did God really say that? God didn't mean that, and you're smarter than God. Doubt what God says, deny what God says, and tell you you're smarter. The same thing is happening today. We're smarter than God. We know what parts of truth we can accept and reject. That's what the Sanhedrin was there with Stephen. We can accept the parts of Moses we like and reject the parts we don't like. The question is, what are we going to do with the truth? Stephen took a stand. He didn't say, don't kill me. He didn't say, all these accusations are lies. He just presented the truth. It's our job to present the truth to a world that is wanting to live by lies. What is the truth? God has given us the truth in His Word. We have the choice, like the people at the bottom of Mount Sinai when Moses was at the top, to reject the truth. Like those sitting in the Sanhedrin who saw all the miracles of Jesus, who knew that He had risen and had even bribed people to tell a lie, who knew that Moses, whom they claimed to be their source of truth, had said that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. Moses didn't use the name Jesus. The name Jesus is the same, is a Greek version of the Hebrew Joshua, which means God saves. The Sanhedrin rejected God saves because they wanted to save their own way. Much like Moses did. Moses, when he was 40, went out and saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. And he sought to intervene and ended up killing the Egyptian. And then he came back the next day. Two Israelites are arguing. He says, "Don't argue, your brothers." They said, "Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" He said, Moses didn't understand. He thought that people would recognize that he was God's salvation. The Sanhedrin thought they were God's salvation. And they rejected Jesus, God Himself, who had come to save. But many of the Sanhedrin, many of the priests, none of the Sadducee side, as far as we know, ever accepted Jesus. Many of the Pharisees did. Paul, at this time known as Saul, is one of those. What are we going to do? Whose example we're going to follow? Stephen, the Sanhedrin, or the false accusation people said, "You can't believe that." It's our choice.
Matthew, when we have a graduate from high school, our church likes to present a gift to those graduates.